"We just can't afford to lose any money right now," said Miss Mamie. "I'm already a month behind in my mortgage payments." Gus scratched his head and said, "Just a month? The Great Grizzly National Bank hasn't ever bothered you about being a month or two behind, even three." "The bank doesn't own my mortgage anymore," said Miss Mamie. She handed Gus the letter she had been reading. "Property management," Gus read aloud. "Looks like these folks must have taken over your mortgage. Now that seems kind of funny, don't it? You went and borrowed money from the bank to buy this place. Now all of a sudden, you're paying back a bunch of strangers instead of the bank. Supposing I borrowed a hammer from Papa Bear, and after a while, Papa came to me and said Farmer Ben owns that hammer now because I sold it to him. I'm not sure I'd like that. Farmer Ben's not a close friend of mine, and I only borrow from close friends."
"Oh, that's exactly what worries me," said Miss Mamie. "I borrowed money from the bank because I know those folks and they know me. They know I get behind sometimes on my mortgage payments, but they also know if they're patient, I'll get caught up before too long. I'm a little worried about these property management folks." Read it out loud, Gus.
"We call to your attention," read Gus, "that you are now 1 month behind on your mortgage. We trust that you will make that payment without delay."
"See?" said Miss Mamie. "That's why we don't want to cancel any lessons. We can't afford it."
Gus looked worried. "Do you think these folks are going to make trouble?"
"I sure hope not," said Miss Mamie. "Because I may not be able to make that payment until the end of next month."
Oh my God, this is a Berenstain Bears book and it's entirely about mortgages.
Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week, we are starting Halloween! Season. That's right, it's Halloween season with the Berenstain Bears. It's only the beginning of September, but the beginning of September marks the beginning of Halloween, my friends.
Always time for spooky dukes.
And what are we going to kick off Halloween season with this year? And I don't want anyone to think that I'm actually going to do more scary books after this. This is probably it. For now, unless another one just happens to come up in line, because I do these in chronological order. This is just a coincidence. But it's a perfect coincidence. Mwahaha. It's 1994's chapter book, The Berenstain Bears and the Galloping Ghost. Ooh, we've got galloping. We've got ghosts. We've got horses and goblins and riding lessons and mortgages and characters we've never met before. Ooh, and a mystery on our hands and the scariest writer of them all. When you think scary, spooky writers, who do you think? I know who you think of. You think of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle and his Sherlock Holmes horror tales. Brother Bear loves horror, and he loves the scariest stories of all, the mysteries of Bearlock Holmes. I wish I was making that up. But this book is strange and kind of all over the place. So let's just get into it, because this book is trying to do like 500 different things and kind of succeeding at them. So the book kicks off. This is right off the bat. We are kind of in a retelling of the Berenstain Bears. I think it's In the Dark, where Brother Bear is obsessed with books about mysteries and Sister Bear is frightened by them. And he uses them to tease her and make fun of the fact that she's afraid of the dark. That's kind of where this book begins. It starts off in the same place. Brother Bear and Sister Bear are at the library checking out books. Brother Bear is obsessed with, it's not Bearlock Holmes. I'm sorry, that would be stupid. Why would you call your Sherlock Holmes XP Bearlock Holmes? That would be ridiculous. No, it's Grizzlock Holmes. Grizzlock Holmes and his faithful assistant, Dr. Bearson. They don't say who the author is. Ursine Conan Doyle, maybe? I don't know. But Brother Bear is obsessed with them, and Sister Bear is not. Sister Bear, just like in the original storybook, does not like mysteries. They scare the heck out of her. Now, what Sister Bear is obsessed with, though, is books about horses, such as Brown Beauty, which I guess that's a parody.
because there's brown bears, but there's also black bears. So they could have just called it Black Beauty, but it's a horse anyway. Anyway, Brown Beauty and Misty of Grizzly Teague. So already we've got parodies of Sherlock Holmes stories and parodies of like horse stories. And I'm also thinking of like Saddle Club and Pony Pals, books like that. Because I haven't read a whole lot of those kind of books, but I've read some of them to my kids over the years. And this book, in a little bit, plays around with the tropes of both Sherlock Holmes stories and the young preteen girl pony club kind of books. And it gets a little mushmash of them, kind of makes fun of it, but also kind of plays into it. It's tonally weird. Also, that's not the point of the story, but we'll get to that. So Brother's just making fun of Sister Bear. She's terrified of these mysteries. And I'm going to pause for just a second. So in the original storybook, Brother was obsessed with mysteries, and they weren't Sherlock Holmes mysteries. They were more like Hardy Boys types books. They were about Cub Scouts or Cubbed Scouts who solve mysteries. And they were like the mystery of the spooky cave and things like that, which kind of made sense. Like, that's where we were as far as children's books go. But I want to pause and reflect on the fact that the chapter books were part of the inspiration for the chapter books was the fact that certain book series were making money hand over fist for book publishers. Among those were the Babysitter's Clubs, various Saddle Club, Pony Book type stories. But mostly of all was a little book series by Mr. R.L. Stine called The Goosebump. Goosebumps. Goosebump. Goose's Goosebumps. Goosebump Books. And I find it funny that instead of having the books Brother is obsessed with be a Goosebump type series, they instead went for a series of books that are decidedly not known for being frightening, unless you're looking at maybe The Hound of the Baskervilles. But the Sherlock Holmes books aren't my go-to, like, scary stories. I would have loved it if they had done something like Stibern King. That's not even a thing. That's not good. That's not good at all. Dean Koontz. I couldn't think of one for Dean Koontz. Something scary besides Sherlock Holmes. But in any case, all Brother has to do is mention Sherlock Holmes and Sister goes catatonic. Like, she's terrified of Sherlock Holmes. In any case, Brother's teasing her about the fact that she loves these pony books. And Sister mentions that she would love to take writing lessons. There's a place that's opened up called Miss Mamie's Writing Academy. And even though Mama and Papa think Sister might be too young for writing lessons, all of her friends are starting to take them. Now, Miss Mamie is a character we've never met, but she's opened a writing school that is suspiciously super cheap for everyone to take writing lessons there. Writing lessons, horse riding lessons, I don't know anything about them, but I assume they're not an inexpensive thing, an inexpensive hobby. Meanwhile, Brother continues taunting Sister by reading to her from Grislock Holmes and The Speckled Band. Now, for those of you who are familiar with the Sherlock Holmes story, there actually is a Sherlock Holmes story called Sherlock Holmes and the Speckled Band. And it is a Sherlock Holmes story that a lot of really young readers read. It's kind of in a lot of young reader anthologies. I think maybe because it's short, it makes a lot of sense, and it's kind of a cool twist. The cool twist being that it's a snake. It's a snake. As Holmes lay abed in the darkened room, Brother read, all of a sudden the servant's bell cord above the bed began to move, ever so slightly. Holding his breath, Holmes peered up into the darkness. Sister stared up at the blank ceiling and pulled the covers up to her chin. Brother continued, as he watched, the bell cord grew thick with moving, twisting coils. Something was slithering down the cord, right at his face. Sister clapped her hands over her ears and screamed, Mama! And the parents come running. So that's an example. Like, it's the Speckled Band. He's reading the Speckled Band through his sister. So, meanwhile, Sister is convincing her parents she wants to take these writing lessons. And the parents say, you know what? We'll sign you up for writing lessons, and since it all kind of comes as a package, we'll sign Brother up for him, too. Like, it's just as much money to have both of you take as it is to have one of you take, so it's because it's a family deal, so Brother, you're going to take writing lessons as well. And Brother is not enthusiastic about this. And this isn't your typical Brother, like, playing it cool. This is brother just being like, okay. So they head over to Miss Mamie's riding academy. And just like Coach Grismire's terrible summer camp from a few weeks ago, Miss Mamie's riding academy is a pit. It's a dump. The split rail fence was covered in thorn bushes. The buildings were overgrown with vines, weathered and worn. There were three buildings in all. They look kind of like tool sheds. Everything's just kind of run down. And then Miss Mamie comes out. She's this big, strong, strapping bear. She walks with a limp. She wears work shirts, double extra large breeches, and her clothes are from the LL Bear catalog. Thank you very much. She carries a riding crop, and she seems pretty no-nonsense. She seems nice, but pretty no-nonsense. And also working at the riding school is Gus, who you may know as the custodian from school. So, you know, Gus is someone the kids know and the kids trust, even though Miss Mamie is somewhat unusual. What's also unusual about this book is that we spend a lot of time with Miss Mamie and Gus, not with any of the other bears. They have a lot of scenes together. I read one at the beginning of the episode. That was a little scene between the two of them. And what they tend to talk about is not only this mortgage that there's something going on with, but the fact that Gus seems to be having a lot of accidents, leaving a lot of things undone, uncleaned. So she accuses him of leaving the windows open on the stable the night before and potentially making the horses get sick. And if the horses get sick, she's going to have to cancel her lessons. So the other thing that's worrying them is they're under a lot of pressure to get their mortgage paid, which seems, I think that's something you should be under pressure to do. Like, that's kind of the point of mortgages. But Miss Mamie's not very good with business. So brother and sister show up. And they find out that the writing school is actually located in Forbidden Bog, which was the location of the Berenstain Bears and the drug-free zone. So that's where the Bog brothers lived, if you remember, and they were criminals, and the bog is kind of terrifying. So it's a weird place to be. And we also learned that there was a legend, the legend of the galloping ghost of Forbidden Bog. And Papa Bear is the one who relates the story of the galloping ghost. And I want to read to you Papa Bear's story, because it's actually a delightful little ghost story for this type of book.
Long, long ago, there was a bear named Billy Beechtree who suffered a terrible fate in Forbidden Bog. One day, he was falsely accused of being a highway bear, robbing travelers along this very road. A mob of angry citizens chased him into the bog, where he and his horse were swallowed up by a pool of quicksand. According to the legend, from time to time, the ghost of Billy Beechtree rises from his quicksand grave and gallops on his phantom horse over the countryside, crying for justice.
And then, of course, Sister Bear freaks out. But we get a great little ghost story, and it's about a wrongful accusation and a horrible death by drowning in quicksand of not only a guy, but his horse. It's a terrible little thing, and it's spectral visions of the horse and the bear haunting the swamp. So the cubs show up, and they start getting set up for the class. It says, inside the arena, a lot of riding was going on. Older cubs on full-size horses trotted around a large outer ring, while younger cubs rode ponies around an inner ring. The riders were watched closely by three teenage assistants who were expert riders. Meanwhile, Miss Mamie strolled back and forth from one end of the arena to the other. She kept an eye on everything. She carried a long trainer's whip and shouted instructions through a megaphone. Now, brother isn't so happy to be here. In fact, Miss Mamie is very big and boisterous, and that makes brother even more nervous about riding. So Mamie talks to Mama and Papa, and she basically admits that she's not very good at business. And that Mama says, you know, we're more concerned about the cubs being safe than this place being, you know, spick and span. And Miss Mamie and Gus have this moment together where they're both thinking that this place isn't being held together very well. But besides just the windows, he had apparently left the hose on and flooded the rings one night, which almost made them have to cancel class again because of the muddiness. Papa actually raises the possibility that some of the stuff going around there may have been caused by the ghost. And Miss Mamie says, if you're talking about the legend of the galloping ghost, I'd rather you didn't. She kind of shuts him down. So as readers, we're like, is the ghost real? Does she believe in the ghost? Like, is this a real thing? Meanwhile, brother says that the full-size horses seem kind of scary. So we have several things going on here. I want to pause for a second and just point out that the setup here has, there's a mystery going on at the horse riding school, which is, why does Gus keep screwing up so badly?
Is Miss Mamie going to get to keep the school because the creditors are breathing down her neck? Plus, Brother seems wigged out by the horses, and Miss Mamie seems to be hiding something. There's a lot of stuff going on into this mix. This was Sister's idea. Sister wanted to take classes at this school, but the story isn't really about her. So horse riding lessons start up. There's a horse named Flash, who is kind of the restless horse. He's not a bad horse, but he's the one with the most personality. In fact, Brother's horse never gets named, but Flash gets named. And he starts misbehaving and rearing up on his rope. And he's kind of like, I don't know what you call it, flipping out. He's tied to a railing, and the railing rips loose. And they have to get Flash under control, which is another reason that Gus gets in trouble, because the railing should be checked and double checked that it's firm enough to hold a horse. Brother's horse gets upset and throws him. Brother doesn't get hurt, but he gets very frightened and very embarrassed. And Queenie McBear, who's one of the students there, says, "Get back on your horse. When you take a spill, get right back on the horse." My brother is actually wigged out by all of this, and he goes to rest in Miss Mamie's office. And we end up with a really awesome chapter. I loved this chapter. Brother is super, not only embarrassed, when something dangerous happens, when something dangerous and frightening happens, and your adrenaline goes up and then it crashes and you're shaken, that's what happens to him. He's very upset. And Miss Mamie comes in to check on him in the office, and he says, "I'm sorry, Miss Mamie, I should have got back on." And she says, "Nonsense. That get back on stuff is a load of bunk. What's important is that you're not hurt." And so they sit down, they have a cup of chocolate. And she says, "Do you mind if I ask you something personal?" And he says, "Go ahead." And she says, "Were you maybe just a little bit afraid of horses, even before you got thrown?" And he says, "Maybe a little." Miss Mamie says, "Well, there's nothing strange about that. Sometimes I think the cubs who aren't afraid of horses are the strange ones. You know, when I was a cub and started riding, I was scared to death of horses. But I grew up in a riding family, so I didn't have any choice but to overcome my fears." He says, "You became a great rider." And she says, "I guess I did, but I'll tell you something, I was real scared at the start." And he says, "Did you ever get thrown?" And she says, "Did I ever? I can't count how many times, but I never got badly hurt until that last one. It was 9 years ago. I was riding in a steeplechase, that's a race with jumps. My horse landed short at the water jump, broke my leg in two places. It didn't heal right. I guess you noticed my limp. Haven't been on a horse since." So we have this great talk between a trainer and a student. And the first thing the trainer says is that it's important not to just get back on. And I really like that. She says it's a load of bunk. That's a great lesson to teach a kid. If you take nothing else from this book, that get back on stuff is a load of bunk. What's important is that you're not hurt. We tend to put a broader priority on work through the pain, work through your fear. And there is a level of that's important in life, that, you know, you can't turn away from every challenge. And just because something is intimidating or stressful doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. But if you're legitimately frightened by something, it's okay to step back. If you get hurt or shocked or scared, it's okay to take a break. It's okay to walk away. It's more important that you stay safe than that you work through your pain. I work, of course, at a place that deals with brain injury, and I talk to a lot of kids who, you know, get concussions, and they're taught to work through the pain. Not so much anymore. We're learning more, but that's a classic lesson that we try to teach kids. And there's a line there that we have to learn not to cross. So we also learned that Miss Mamie got injured being thrown from a horse, which also is a great lesson, that horseback riding, one of the first things you have to learn is that this isn't an easy thing, and that horses are animals, and that there's a potential of danger there, of injury there. And I like that this book doesn't shy away from that. So Miss Mamie gets angry at Gus and yells at him. He's like, "The bolts of the railing must have gotten loose." And he's like, "No, look, dude, I check those bolts once a week. There's never been a wobble to that." And she's like, "Well, you better start checking them twice a week. That kind of accident can hurt cubs, and then I'll lose this whole place." So Brother overhears part of the argument, and he's like, "What's going on?" And Gus is like, "Look, it's all about Miss Mamie's mortgage." And he's like, "What's a mortgage?" Like, he's thinking this to himself. And Gus is like, you know, Mamie's a great horse bear, but she's not much of a business bear. She's been in arrears lately. I think that's how you say it. If I'm mispronouncing it, just tell me. And brother's like, what does that even mean? And he's like, that's not the problem. You know, like, they're threatening to foreclose. And he's like, foreclose? Like, what? So brother is just like in a muddle about mortgages and foreclosures and arrears. And he doesn't know what he's supposed to do. Like, he wants to help Miss Mamie. That's like his thing. But we get one of those moments where he wants to solve a mystery, but he realizes that this isn't a book. This is real life. But he feels like there's something going on at the school. That is the school haunted? Is there a ghost causing accidents? Is something like, what is happening? And he does something that is illegal. He decides to read Miss Mamie's mail. He doesn't understand it because it's all about mortgages. But this is the first step to him solving the problem. There's all these words he doesn't know. So he goes to talk to Cousin Fred about mortgages. And Fred spends a chapter explaining how mortgages work. How you, if you want to buy property, you have to borrow money from the bank and you have to pay back a little bit of it each month. If you get behind on your payments, the bank can foreclose. That means take charge of your property and sell it to someone else. And sometimes a bank can sell your mortgage to another company, a property management company, and that it's perfectly legal, even though it seems weird. And then you're suddenly paying money to them. And this is something I didn't learn about till I was way older than this. So it's kind of cool that not only are they teaching kids about this, but that the plot kind of hinges on it. So Fred promises to pretend to be interested in writing lessons so that he can poke around the academy and do some sleuthing. Meanwhile, brother is afraid of falling off the horse again. Sister is afraid of the galloping ghost. And they have this comment about teasing where Papa says, listen, you two, it isn't fair to tease each other about their fears because everyone is afraid of something. Everyone? Asks brother. That's right.
What are you afraid of, Papa? Asks sister.
Papa grinned. Your mama. Mama pretended not to hear Papa's remark.
And what are you afraid of, Mama? Asked brother.
What I'm afraid of, said Mama, is that if you don't stop this silly teasing, I may lose my temper.
I just like that. I like that Mama is the one who yells in that chapter where it's usually Papa. Well, things go from bad to worse. There's a fire in the stable fuse box the next day. So the fire chief comes, does an inspection of the place, and he says, my inspection turned up a dozen more fire hazards. Bales of rotting hay stacked in the stables, a pile of oily rags in a corner of the tool shed, an unsafe extension cord attached to a hot plate in the office, an exposed wire dangling from the back of the loudspeaker in the riding arena, and Gus is in so much trouble. Miss Mamie is furious at Gus. Gus insists that he didn't do any of this stuff. He didn't leave a pile of oily rags. He didn't leave old rotting hay. He didn't leave a hot plate plugged in the office. And so Miss Mamie is so upset that she decides to cancel the lessons. But she doesn't want anyone to get hurt. She's like, there's fire hazards here. This place isn't safe. I'm terrible at business. I'm not going to gamble with your safety. And she walks off just dejected. So brother and sister and Fred decide to just double down on their sleuthing. Gus is like, I don't believe in jinxes or ghosts or hauntings or nothing. Forbidden Bog may be a spooky place with a spooky legend, but this is something else. And Fred's like, what do you think it is? And Gus says, I think it's sabotage. He thinks someone is sabotaging the school because of the mortgage. So the Cubs start putting things together with the help of Gus. Those things he's putting together are that someone is trying to get Miss Mamie to be behind on her payments, so she loses the place. The Cubs decide to pitch in to help out Miss Mamie by having a show called The Greatest Horse Show on Earth, which they'll invite everyone to. They'll make money. They'll get the teens who help teach at the school to do some big stunts. They'll do a big horse show. And I don't know how logical this is. It sounds like putting on a horse show is like a big, difficult deal, especially without Miss Mamie to help. Obviously, they get Harry McGill to print up flyers and Queenie and all of them help clean up the place because they got to clean up all these fire hazards and everything. And Miss Mamie is thrilled, but skeptical that this is actually going to help. And so they're all sitting in the school, like at the end of the day, it's getting dark, and they're drinking some hot chocolate when they hear the wind starts picking up and they hear a howling. And then they look, and right into the bog is the galloping ghost. It's a ghost on a horse with a white sheet. And they're all freaking out because there's a ghost and they're shaken and they are terrified and they just saw a ghost like ride through the bog. And it's kind of a spooky scene. Like, it's a legitimately like spooky scene. And Miss Mamie decides, that's it. I can't teach at a haunted school. I'm closing this place down. I'm shutting down. I'm going to sell to the person who wanted to buy. And the Cubs are like, wait, someone wanted to buy? She's like, yeah, someone made an offer on this place, but I refuse to sell because I want to keep this place going. They made me a generous offer. These strangers from Big Bear City wanted to buy the academy, and I told them it was my life, and I wasn't for sale at any price. And they're like, well, you could still sell it to them, I guess. And she's like, you know what? I don't think anyone would buy this for what it's worth now that there's ghosts here. And that's when the Cubs start getting the idea in their head that they're going to catch this ghost. Brother wonders if the ghost had returned to his quicksand grave. But Brother and Fred start putting two and two together. And the ghost comes back. The Cubs turn in time to see the glowing horse and the rider jump the fence at the edge of the bog and come galloping straight for them. The Cubs started to run for the office, but Brother shouted, wait, stand your ground. And he does. And as the galloping ghost races toward Brother and his friends, the glow of his ghostly horse begins to fade. The horse was disappearing before their very eyes. The Cubs wanted to turn and run, but all of a sudden, Brother ran straight toward the ghost, shouting, after him, gang, get him! And that sort of galvanizes the Cubs, and they chase the ghost on the horse. The horse leaps over a fence, and the ghost falls off the horse and loses his balance and falls into the thorn bushes. They run up, and it's not a ghost. It's not Billy Beechtree. It's Billy Bog, one of the Bog Brothers. And they call the police. They find out the Bog Brothers have been let out of jail. Now, in case you're keeping up with continuity, the Bog Brothers were thrown in jail because of what happened in the Berenstain Bears in the drug-free zone. Remember, the Bog Brothers were the drug distributors. Billy Bog insists that he was just playing around. He wasn't doing anything illegal, except maybe trespassing. The Cubs decide they know what was happening. They decide that whoever bought Miss Mamie's mortgage from Great Grizzly National Bank are the same bears who wanted to buy the academy 2 months ago. They hired the Bog Brothers to sabotage the academy, to do things like leave the stable window open and the hose running all night, to loosen the bolts in the railing and mess with the fuse box. The mortgage owners wanted to get the academy closed down so Miss Mamie couldn't catch up with the mortgage payments. Then they would take over the academy. For a while, it looked as if their scheme was working, but then they formed so the Cubs had formed a group called the Friends of Miss Mamie, and they planned the big horse show. So they just tried to get us to cancel the show by making them think the academy was haunted, and it almost worked. Chief Bruno was like, that sounds a little stretched out, but the Bog Brothers are kind of nuts, so we'll see if it's true. They catch Bart and Bert Bog trying to drive out of the Forbidden Bog in a horse van, so he questions them. Turns out Brother was exactly right. The Bog Brothers had been hired by the real estate developers from Big Bear City to sabotage Miss Mamie's writing academy. They wanted to tear down the academy and build a huge shopping mall in its place. So Chief Bruno arrests them, I guess, is how it works. And the kids hold the big show. They have Raffish Ralph there doing his three-card Monty, but for Miss Mamie, like the money he earns goes towards paying off her mortgage. And Miss Mamie actually overcomes her fear of writing and rides Flash around the arena. It says, Miss Mamie was so glad to keep her riding academy that for the first time in 9 long years, she had found the courage to get back in the saddle. And that's how it ends. It ends with the Cubs saving the riding academy. I don't have much else to say about the book, except that it starts off really wonky, but it makes sense where it's going. This is a book about overcoming fears, but not irrationally. It legitimizes Brother's fear of riding horses. Horses are scary. Riding is dangerous. You can get hurt. It legitimizes Sister's fears of scary stories. Scary stories are there to get scared by, and that's okay. Like, we all have things we're afraid of. But it also brings up the point that the scariest things in life aren't falling off horses or ghosts or haunted bogs. They are down-to-earth things like mortgages and fear of failure and getting hurt again. And I think that a lot of children's books don't deal with the fear of getting hurt again. That's something that we don't just hear a lot about in children's literature, that there are levels and layers to trying things and trying things again. And I think this book touches on various aspects of those. Getting back in the saddle, but knowing when not to get back in the saddle. That sometimes it takes years to overcome a trauma. What they don't say about Miss Mamie is that she has some kind of post-traumatic stress from falling off that horse. It's not just a broken leg. She can get around with a broken leg. it's something happened and the shock and trauma of that has made her unable to get back on a horse. In the end of the story, she does. And I don't think it's because she did something as deceptively simple as overcame her fears. I think she was able to face her trauma, but she was able to move through her trauma because the cub threw her that event and helped her out. And she was given a demonstration of the support she had from her friends and her students and the community. It wasn't that she overcame her fear. It's that she confronted her fear, knowing that she was now in a safe environment. Her academy never felt safe to her because it always seemed to be out of control. There were mysterious things happening behind her back that she had no control over. And that resulted in her place being shabby and a little run down and not a place she was actually comfortable in. The cubs helped her clean up, which helped her be in an environment that she found comforting and soothing. And helping someone find an environment they feel safe in is one of the aspects of overcoming a traumatic event, of overcoming personal trauma. I mean, it's not the only step, obviously, but it's obviously from the story a step that Miss Mamie needed. So mortgages and ghosts and bogs and riding academies and foreclosures and Gus and just everything going into this. It's a super complex book as far as all that goes. But at the heart of it, is about support and community and teaching someone that they're not alone in their trauma. And that's what Miss Mamie does with Brother. Brother has a traumatic experience on the horse. The traumatic experience could be anything. And what Miss Mamie does is she sits him down and lets him tell her about his experience. And then she tells him, you don't have to go back. A, your fears are legitimate. B, the trauma you experienced is legitimate. And C, you don't have to go back to that if you don't want to. And you certainly don't have to go back to it until you're comfortable doing it. And no one gets to make you feel ashamed for that. The book positions it as fear. And Brother certainly did have fear before going into it. But what it's really about is trauma. And Miss Mamie overcoming her trauma and helping Brother work through his trauma in a way that it doesn't become something ongoing. So The Berenstain Bears and the Galloping Ghost is a spooktacular spook-em-up, but also a wonderful, insightful book about trauma. And also a good book about horse riding. Again, I wish I'd had someone on the show who knew something about horses. If you're listening and you know something about horses, pick up The Berenstain Bears and the Galloping Ghost, because it's got a lot of horse riding stuff in it. I didn't go into all of it because I don't know a lot about it. They got horses and helmets and jumping and horses. If you like ghosts, go into it. It's got a great ghost story with a good ghost backstory. Drowning in quicksand, you don't get that often. Highwaymen killed by an angry mob. Like, that's some good ghost storytelling right there. It's got parodies of Sherlock Holmes, but not funny parodies. Legit parody of a legit Berenstain Bears XP of the Speckled Band. Like, that's something. It calls Black Beauty Brown Beauty, which is weird, but it also has an adult relationship between Miss Mamie and Gus that I really like. It's an employer-employee relationship that is legitimately contentious. And you see Gus be hurt because he's been accused of something that's not his fault, but is also something's going on. Like, there's a real mystery. You see Brother take on a mystery that's not something frivolous like a missing pumpkin, or, you know, like a kid oriented thing. But it's not as heavy as the drugs were. It's something that's solvable, but is grounded, very grounded in reality. But also, you have this weird Scooby-Doo plot, because at the end, the ghost was really one of the Bog brothers. Like, and they pull off his mask, and Police Chief Bruno, wait, hold on, I want to find the quote, because it comes darn near saying, if it wasn't for you meddling kids, where, oh yeah, brother, he says, so they tried to get us to cancel the show by making us think the Academy was haunted, and it almost worked. And you can almost feel them wanting to say, if it wasn't for us meddling kids. And then, of course, you have the way that the Berenstains intelligently deal with trauma. So if any of those things seem useful to you, I would pick this book up. It's available. Oh, hello, Lily. You just scared the bejeebers out of me, sneaking up on me like that. That was the cat. It's available in digital format. You can pick it up on Kindle. You can pick it up for Kobo, or, you know, if you buy it through Amazon, it's through Amazon Kindle. If you go to Kobo, you can buy it as an EPUB or Mobi or whatever file format you want. It's buyable. It's one of the books. It's only a couple of bucks. Easily findable. Pick it up. The illustrations are really nice. They're fun. There's some good comic booky illustrations at times. You get to see Raffish Ralph again. I always like seeing Raffish Ralph. For those of you who are interested, Mr. Raffish Ralph and the voice of many other bears in the old ABC series from the Berenstain Bears, Frank Welker, is now on Twitter. So you can follow Frank Welker on Twitter. He's a delightful man, and we always like seeing what he has been up to. But whenever Raffish Ralph appears in the books, I remember that. Well, I guess, okay, in the books he's called Ralph Ripoff, but he'll never be Ralph Ripoff to me. He'll always be Raffish Ralph, which is the name of his character in the cartoon, and I think it's a better name. I can understand why they didn't want to put it in the books, because no one knows what Raffish means. But it's Frank Welker doing his best W.C. Fields impression, and it's delightful, and I'll always think of him whenever Raffish Ralph appears in the books. So pick up a copy of it. It's a good book. It's a good spook-em-up. It's a good mystery. You'll learn about mortgages. Yeah, it's a delight. Don't forget that you can find me on Twitter at BeastainBearcast. You can find me on Facebook at Deep in Bear Country. You can write to me at BerenstainBearcast@gmail.com. And if you are interested, you can go to patreon.com/deepinbearcountry and support the show. Throw a few bucks our way. There's a couple of tiers that you can support the show if you're interested. And it would really help me out paying for these books and keeping my recording costs down. Again, if you can't, you can't. If you can, I would love to have a couple of extra dollars to do the show. But again, no pressure. No pressure. I hate asking for money. Otherwise, coming up, we've got more chapter books. We've got more storybooks, hopefully in the future. And guests. We're going to have a good time. I promise you all. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate each and every one of my listeners. I love that there's people out there who enjoy hearing me talk, no matter what I am rambling on about. So please take care of yourselves, and I will see all of you next week deep in Bear Country.